Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today I have a great guest on, like I always do, but she's going to be really, really informative. Her name is Jennifer Longmore. So, Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Great. Now, Jennifer, you actually do, you know, a little bit different coaching and empowerment for people. So I'm going to have you talk a little bit about who Jennifer is and really kind of what started you on your journey, because you've got a pretty good story and I think people need to hear it. So go right ahead.
Okay. So I feel like I was born with a pretty thin veil when I hear other people's stories, because I was so aware of energy and other beings and orbs of light and so on. I can remember lying in my crib even and seeing all of these interesting dimensions happening. And I was very fortunate that I grew up in a family that was very open, but even still, I didn't really have the language skills to describe what was going on for me. So a lot of stuff I kept in just because I really just didn't have the three-dimensional skills to put into words what was happening. And then my parents decided it would be a good idea for us to all go for a past life regression when I was 4 years old, because they wanted to figure out how many times we had kind of done this loop with each other and, you know, what our lessons were for this lifetime so that we could get it right, whatever that meant. And so then a year later I went off to school and learned that this just wasn't everyone's reality. And so I actually tried to exert a lot of energy suppressing my gifts, because it just really wasn't part of, you know, my 9-to-5 reality going to school. And, you know, when I went into high school, I had one of those typical, or I shouldn't say typical, but I was trying so hard to fit in because I really felt like quite an outsider. So, you know, I went to parties and did different things as a teenager, but that got pretty boring, and I went back into what I was here to do, and I started getting back into crystals and energy work and so on. And then I manifested a car accident. I like to say a car incident because there's no accident. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was introduced to Reiki. So what happened was my mom was really good friends with someone who was a Reiki master, and my mom was doing reflexology at the time. So they decided that they would do exchanges with each other so that I could receive Reiki, because at the time I was in university and I really just didn't have the funds to heal in that way, and I knew that the medical model wasn't going to do it for me. So I had this huge transformation really quickly with Reiki, and my Reiki master said, you know, I'd really like you to take Reiki. I really feel guided for you to be learning it. So against what my ego mind wanted, which was to just focus on school and just get things done, I went and took my level one Reiki, and I knew right away that this was kind of the piece that I was missing. I had all of this intuitive stuff going on and could really read energy, but I didn't know how to really work with energy and manage energy. So I became a Reiki master at 21, and the rest is kind of history. So,
isn't it amazing when you are supposed to do something, whether you want to agree with it or not, kind of, you know, gets presented to you in either a really good way or a way to make you sit up and take note?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be honest, you know, when I had all the stuff right after the incident with the car, I was pretty angry and I was frustrated. And it really you know, I was going to school full time and I was working full time and I was, you know, just on the go, and it was inconvenient for me to be injured. And, you know, when I wrote my story, and this is just such a great exercise for me, and I don't know if you've done this, Nancy, but I just, you know, wrote out my story maybe in my mid-20s and tried to tie the pieces together of how it all wove together. You know, why did I need to go through certain things in order to then achieve certain things? And I realized that thing with the car was huge for me now. It was just such a pivotal moment in my journey. I really don't know where I would be if that didn't happen to me.
Yeah, see, what I did was actually write my autobiography so that people could understand what I went through from age 6 all the way until, like, when I finished it, to let them know that there really are no accidents, you know, like you're saying. and that things really do happen. And actually, I didn't want to write my story, but my angels would not allow me not to write it, put it that way, because they would torment me with downloading me every night for a few months until I finally said okay. But it turned out actually that it's a self-help book, but I didn't know that's what it was until people start buying it and go, Nancy, this book has helped me so much. It's like, yeah, well, okay. So I didn't really know why I needed to write this book. So it's a lot like, you know, your case. You didn't know why you needed to have this accident. You know, and it just turns out they and when I say they, I am talking about the higher powers and the highest powers. Mm-hmm. They will put things in your way to wake you up, whether you like it or whether you don't. You know, so
exactly.
But it's pretty important, though, Jennifer, that you actually, you know, help people to get there a lot quicker, and hopefully they won't have to go through the incidents or anything else in order to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's pretty important because, you know, I'm in the kind of mind that believes that people really do manifest whatever they want or don't want, and yet I don't think they're sure of how they do it. So having a coach is actually really good. So now that you got the Reiki and all that at age 21, what else have you done? Because there's more, okay? So what else have you done to help people on their journey?
I know. If there's anyone listening who's, you know, in their teenage years, you really won't be doing the same thing that you think you're going to do when you're in your late 20s and your 30s. Your life will just transform. So what happened was I was very stubborn. I am very stubborn. I will admit that. So I paid for my university education, darn it, and I'm going to use it. So I went into social work. I graduated with a degree in social work, and I went into child welfare for many years, and that was a university in and of itself. It's like I got a PhD in human psychology just being there because I saw everything, right? I saw all walks of life. I saw all kinds of just really interesting human dynamics happening. And it was interesting to be in that job, being so intuitive, and then having the forensic training on top of that and not being able to affect the kind of change that I wanted. I actually got really sick from being there, just the stress and the fatigue on my adrenals. So I took a job in the corporate world, and I was trying to teach people how to play nice in the sandbox. And they don't really like to, they're not really interested in playing nice. They just want to, you know, do their thing and stay stuck where they are. So that really wasn't a good fit for me either. And I really didn't expect to be an entrepreneur because it wasn't really a part of my family. And I didn't know I had that kind of personality where I just needed to be a free spirit and kind of beat to my own drum. So after I left that job, like you said with your angels, I just kept getting pushed. And I was angry. Don't make me do this. This is inconvenient. Just let me get a job. Well, no jobs were coming. And I was, you know, having my money story activated. Oh, my goodness, how am I going to afford? I'm going to live in a cardboard box. Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? And then I just took that leap and thought, you know what? For so long, I've wanted to manifest this, you know, to live my vision of helping people heal and realizing that there's another way. And as soon as I opened my doors, I'm not kidding you, the like things just were flooding in, and I was getting offers that I didn't even realize were possible for my business and getting invited to speak and just doing different things like that. So I was able to grow my healing practice really quickly. At that time, I was doing Akashic Record readings and Reiki mainly, but I did, you know, some workshops and so on. And then I did so many, you know, I've done so many readings over the years, and I realized that there's some people that just, and I'm sure you find this as well, that some people just aren't prepared to hear what they need to hear. You know, that there are, that we create everything that we attract to us, like you were saying before. And for different reasons, people go for readings beyond what they even think they're going for. Sometimes they're actually paying for a friend unknowingly, or they want to be in relationship with you, but they don't know how unless something's wrong with them, so they keep creating something to be wrong so that they can come back for more sessions because they don't know that there's another way to relate to you. And it's all unconscious, right? It's all subconscious stuff. But I realized that, you know, I spent a lot, the first part of my career, working with people that really didn't want to change, that they were really stuck in chaos and crisis and just literally bounced from one crisis to another. And I know from my personality, I'm just always moving forward. And so many people just started asking, you know, how can I work with you on an ongoing basis? Not unlike what you said, you know, it's I wasn't planning on creating coaching packages for people. It just kind of happened because of the need. People just kept asking me, and I thought, well, I keep being asked this, so obviously there's a need for it. And I've learned over the years, as I'm sure you have too, to just listen to those nudges instead of waiting for the 2x4, right, to clunk you over the head.
So, and they do.
Yeah. So I created coaching packages. One of them is for helping people with their soul purpose. Some people aren't interested in becoming an entrepreneur, and that's perfectly fine, but they do want to be living in alignment with their purpose and really, you know, so many people spend, if you think about how much energy, and I can think back too, where we can spend so much conscious and unconscious energy in searching mode, searching for our purpose, and that's why so many people go for readings. What's my purpose? What's my purpose? What's my purpose? One of the most common questions I get asked. And I thought, well, how much energy are people really expending on this one question? And if they could learn what their purpose was and be their purpose instead of always searching for their purpose, what would they do with all that extra energy? How would their energy field use it? How would their soul use it up? You know, how much healing would happen for them? And so I started to see that the more people were really thriving in their purpose, the healthier they got because they had more vitality and they were experiencing so many more positive emotions like joy and excitement and adventure rather than being stuck in, you know, resentment or apathy or sadness or grief or any of those kind of emotions. So it's really quite profound. But there are those people. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. There are those people.
There's those people who really feel called to open up healing practices or, you know, something to do with health and wellness. And let's face it, there's a lot of programming out there that says we can't be successful and do that. We can't do God's work, source, creator, whatever wording people use to make a living and to claim our divine birthright of abundance. And they want to do great things and they want to serve, but as healers, we tend to go into that servitude energy where we're putting everyone and everything first, and then we end up not really walking our walk because we're not taking care of ourselves because we're so busy caring for other people. So I have a coaching program for folks that are in that position where they want to actually start their own business, or they're in business and they want to just learn a different way. They want to be more in alignment with the energetics of business as opposed to kind of the, you know, the typical business as we think of it. So,
and I think that's all important because even at, quote, typical business, they have their own problems going on too because, like, they really don't like to play nice, you know, and most of the time they don't, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So I take, you know, I'm trying to align everyone, I'm not personally aligning them, but I'm trying to help people align their mindset to where we're going in the new paradigm, which is all about collaboration and cooperation and really balancing that divine feminine and divine masculine energy so that they can be in that ebb and flow of giving and receiving and that everything can be much more balanced. And when we have a balance in our business, you know, we have a balance in our body, or when we have our balance in our relationships, we have a balance in our client relationships or whatever. It's just all interrelated.
Yeah, and people are starting to get that. They're starting to get that. Just takes a little bit of time, you know. Some people are a little slow. Now, you talk about the Akashic records.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if a lot of people really know about what they are and what they do and what you can learn. So maybe, Jennifer, explain the Akashic records to people and talk about what they can learn from them.
Okay. Yeah, the Akashic records is that blueprint. It's like an etheric library of information that's just relevant to you as a soul. And so often we think of ourselves as this kind of micro being, but we are many facets of a larger soul, and we exist in parallel realities, and we have what we call past lives. Some people will say parallel lives, whatever your language is, but we have all of these different dimensions of our soul, and our soul chooses different opportunities to grow and evolve. So one of the questions, so it stores all of our information anyways, and it is monitored by our record keepers, who are beings, really high vibrational beings that oversee the protection and cataloging of that information. And then each of us can access those records, especially if we believe we can, right? Anyone can access it if they choose to, with the help of your record keepers, so they can give you the information that's most going to serve you at this particular junction in your human reality. So it can help you with things like, you know, what's my purpose? Why did I choose this body? Why did I choose to be born at this particular time? Why are my parents in my life or my siblings? What am I here to learn? And what are my themes in this lifetime? So that when you actually get a reading in your Akashic Records, all of the information that you're receiving is always going to be in relation to what's the bigger reason why you're here.
Which I think is important. Now, I was told by a couple different Akashic readers that you can't really access somebody else's records.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how true that is.
It's interesting because everyone has a different theory. There's some people that, and I've read some books from people who say that there's only a select few humans on the planet that have been divinely ordained by some being, whomever that may be, to read the records for other people. And then even if we look at different religious texts, they're always referring to something like a book of life or some sort of book that holds all of the information about our soul and why we're here and what we've created and what we've experienced and, you know, where we're going and our possibilities. So I like to believe, and this is just, you know, conversations that I've had with my record keepers, and plus I've done like over 20,000 readings over the years, that we are able to access our records because we're not here to try and figure it out on our own. And why would such a tool be created for us to then not be able to access it? It's like dangling a gift in front of someone and then saying, oh, but you can't open it. You know, it's meant to be an empowering tool and to serve people in making choices that are soul-related rather than ego-related. So it's always, anytime you access the records, it's always about what's the most joyous path and what's the least joyous path. And then because we're human, we have free will, and we get to choose whether we're going to actually implement the information that comes through or not.
Okay. So in your opinion, how do people do that? Because, again, a lot of people don't think they can do as much as they can. Okay.
And it really
so
does start. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so how would you explain that to them on how to do it?
The first thing really is the mindset, and that may sound simple, but if someone is a non-believer or tends to look at the world as a glass half empty kind of place, it will be more challenging to believe that it's even possible. The other thing that happens is that each of us has our own spiritual language. So some of us are claircognizant, which means that we just know information. Some of us are clairaudient, which means that we hear information. Some of us are clairvoyant, which means that we see information. And some of us are clairsentient, which means that we sense information. We maybe smell it, taste it, that kind of thing. So if someone doesn't know what their language is, then information can be coming through, but they may not even recognize it because they're receiving it in the way that they're meant to receive it. So that's why it's so great to take a class, right? Because reading a book is great, and if you're really in tune and you get what's going on, it's going to be easy breezy to read your records. But if you don't understand how information comes through for you, it is helpful to have someone to kind of guide you through that. Does that make sense?
It does, but what if they have many different ones? You know, like, you know, we have a combination of them.
Yeah, and that happens for a lot of people, and I'm that way too, where I just receive information in the way that's best able to come through. So what people need to do is to call forward their guides, ask for permission from their record keepers to access their records, and wait for something to happen. It's either you're going to feel some sort of energy moving through your body, you may feel some tingling around your head or your crown, it may be emotion coming up right away. You want to definitely pay attention to what did I feel like before I opened my records, and what do I feel like immediately after I open them, because there will be a distinctive change. So once you ask for permission to go in and receive information, then you can just go ahead, you can hang out in your records and just feel the energy and get used to what the vibration of your soul feels like, because it really is the imprint of your soul. It's quite profound for most people. And then start asking questions. And the more, what's the word I'm looking for? The more specific your questions are, the easier it will be for you to get information. So, and the other thing that people need to do too, which I didn't mention, is even before you go in and open your records, is making a commitment to yourself that you're going to ask questions where you're prepared to hear the answers, and that you're prepared to hear the truth even if you don't like what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the three main questions I get asked every single reading, especially with someone new, is what's my purpose? Where's my soulmate, and or is this person I'm with my soulmate? Mm-hmm. And how can I have more money? What's going on with my money story, kind of thing. I get asked many other questions, but those are the top three. So, for example, if someone asks me, you know, I just met this person and I clicked right away and I really want to know, is this my soulmate? And I will always ask them, you know, before I ask the question, are you sure that you want to hear the answer? And sometimes people will say, actually, I realize I don't. I'm not ready to know yet. And I'll say, okay, great. So we'll just leave that question for another time. Because there's no going back. Once the cat's out of the bag, it's, you know, you can't take it back. And other people will say yes. And then depending on what they hear will determine, you know, what their response is. Sometimes they hear no and they're actually not surprised. They just wanted validation. And other times they hear no and they're mortified, and perhaps they go to several other readers, right, because they're looking for the answer that they want to hear. And then, of course, if the answer is yes, then it can really relieve a lot of stress for people to hear that this person is actually in their life for a reason and that there's a divine partnership that's intended to be formed. Mm-hmm. The other thing people don't realize, too, is that when we ask questions about our future, that our future is what we create it to be. So your guides will always give you information about what's going to serve you in relation to your soul purpose. But if you don't follow that course of action, or you make a series of other choices that don't line up to that, then your future is going to be different than, you know, what perhaps is serving your highest good.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who want to ask the question, but they truly don't like the answers.
Yeah.
And they will. They will go to many other readers hoping that somebody's going to give them the answer they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like you, Jennifer. I tell people, you may not like what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
And if you really don't want to know, then don't ask me that question. But somehow it's probably going to come out anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, and it usually does, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's just to help them. It's not to, you know, it's not to hurt them or to, you know, make them feel bad or anything. It's to help them, you know, make a choice at that point. Do they want to waste that energy? Do they want to change that energy? Or do they want to find better energy? And, you know, those are the three things that people really need to look at when they're going to go to any kind of a reader, because you can sit there all day long and have somebody tell you everything you want to hear. Doesn't mean it's going to work. And then you're going to go, oh, they were just, you know, a rip-off psychic. But that's because that's what you searched for, you know. And so in the 37 years I've been doing it, I always tell people, you may not like what I'm going to tell you, you know, but I still have to tell you whatever I get, you know, only because, and it's at that time your choice, because I can't make it happen. I can't fix it, and I can't fix you. It really is an inside job that you have to work with. But at least you have some kind of guidance on what direction to go to rather than just kind of stumbling around blind, you know. So
absolutely.
I kind of, you know, so I explain it like that. And still, some people really, once they hear the answer, they really don't want to hear it. They'll burst into tears, or they'll say they're not ready, or no, that can't be true. And I don't argue with them. I just say, okay. Because they're going to do whatever they're going to do, you know.
Absolutely.
But,
and we're not attached, right? We often
no.
don't know these people, and perhaps we're even having a phone conversation we're really not attached to the information that comes through. We're not trying to just make up stories. We're only reading what's coming through. And I don't know about you, but I've had people come back to me months later, and I didn't even know. I had no clue, but they would say, I was so angry at you. I asked you a question about such and such, and you told me an answer I didn't want to hear, and I stewed on it for months, and then I finally realized she was right. And then they decided to come back for the next reading, but I had no idea that they were upset with me in the first place. Because
yeah,
sometimes it takes a while for it to sink in.
Well, it is, and people do that. Like, I tape all of my readings when I'm doing them in face-to-face. By phone, I don't tape them unless it's requested. But that's only so that they can go back and listen to them at a different day or a different time to see if anything makes more sense or to see what really has changed with what, you know, has been said versus what they have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I get a lot of, you know, recalls like that where they'll say, you know, I really didn't agree with anything you told me, but, you know, it was a month and 2 months, and all of a sudden it's like there, so I've just got to have another reading. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, I tell people that's great, except why don't you let some more of the other stuff happen and then come for another reading rather than think that you have to come every month, every 2 months, or whatever, because that's not the way you do readings.
Mm-hmm.
And so people get a little upset with that because, like, no, I want to talk to you, like, right now. Well,
mm-hmm.
you know, what about some of the other stuff that still has to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes people get a little perturbed with me, but, you know, it's because I'm trying to help them out, not, you know, not just delay it or hurt them. Because usually
mm-hmm.
when a person gets a reading of any kind, if it really is one that's pretty much right on, there will be so many changes that happen so quickly, and there's still so many changes to come depending on what you have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you do have to give people time. Or I'll get the call back a month later, and I'll go, you know, none of what you told me ever happened. It's like,
mm-hmm.
well, okay. You know, listen to the tape, keep listening to it, and, you know, call me back if anything changes. And so, you know, they'll be angry because it didn't happen instantly, that quick fix, you know, that instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, that's not the way it works all the time, folks. You know, you still have to do your part.
Mm-hmm.
We can tell you all kinds of stuff, but you still have to do your part. You know, so people, you know, you get a variety when
mm-hmm.
you're, you know, doing consultations of any kind. You get a variety of returns with opinions and advices, and yes, it's worked, no, it didn't, yes, you're wonderful, no, you're not,
mm-hmm.
you know. And but again, Jennifer, like you said, we're not attached to it, so it's okay. You know, it's just them
mm-hmm.
with their own frustration, and we understand that.
Absolutely.
You also do a class about the violet light ascension.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Well, it may sound a little bit strange to some people, but I'm going to share it anyways because you asked the question, which means I'm meant to share it. So several years ago, I'm going to say probably about 10 years ago, maybe even longer, I was sleeping and I was approached by several beings. They were actually violet beings, and they had, you know, outlines enough to kind of look like they were human, but they really just did look like spirits. And I was sleeping, so I really didn't know what was going on, and I was levitated out of my bed and floated down by these guys, guides, I should say, down my flight of stairs to my kitchen table. And I was seated in a chair, and these beings stood behind me. I couldn't see them, and I was really kind of out of it, but I was aware. And they were doing all of these symbols on my body and these attunements, basically, almost like getting Reiki attunements, but not quite the same thing. And then they, once they finished, I tried to turn around, and I couldn't see who they were, but, you know, their hands were quite large, and except for the females, I could see the females. And they floated me back up into my room, and I, you know, gently floated down to my bed. And I was very aware of what happened. I remembered it. And then I went back to sleep. And the next day, I had a friend over who also was a Reiki master. And I touched her, and she fell over because there was so much power that came out of my finger. And I didn't realize that. And my cats weren't coming near me because they were freaking out. And so I had to ask my guides what happened, and I was told, I mean, I knew it that night, but I needed to just reaffirm it. So what happened was the Brotherhood of Light came in and attuned me to the violet light. And it's not the same as the violet flame, although still kind of in the same, let's say, lineage. And I it really amped up my healing abilities, and I started being way more crystal clear, not only in my readings, but just like I could literally touch people in these little meridians on their body, and there would be these miraculous healings that would take place. So I went out and presented it. I was actually asked to present it at the Learning Annex, and so I did. And as you know, teaching classes, you attract all kinds of personalities. Mm-hmm. And there were some pretty interesting characters that came through. And at that stage in my career, I really wasn't, I didn't have enough, let's say, business maturity to know how to deal with some of the people in the crowd. It was quite a big group. So I put it on the back burner for a while, but of course, as you know, and you mentioned with your book, like I kept getting prodded, and the human part of me was saying, no, I don't want to do it. But the call for it, like I had people just out of nowhere saying, tell me about this violet light, and it wasn't even on my website, and you know, people were asking about it like crazy. So I started doing it in smaller groups and just creating it. Well, I would do it as either a teleseminar or I would do it in person and have maybe 25 people receive different activations and so on, and do it that way. So it's interesting because I used to offer far more ascension kind of things like that, and then I just started getting pulled into more of this coaching aspect and helping people sustain what they're doing. You know, people... Once people know what their purpose is, they kind of think that that's going to be the magic bullet. But what happens is, and you probably find this too, I would imagine, it's one thing to have information. It's another thing to act on information. So there's a lot of people that know what their purpose is, but they're not doing what they need to do to align to it. Mm-hmm. So they're just as stuck as they were before they knew what their purpose was. The only difference is now they know what they're meant to be doing with their life, as opposed to before they were just questioning it or they had a feeling. So I've really been guided, surprisingly, as I mentioned before, to start going in this direction where I'm helping people literally put one step before the other and live their path as healers and intuitives and creative visionaries, you know, artists and people that are maybe on the cusp of, you know, they're in that leading edge stuff or in that woo-woo kind of category that a lot of other coaches don't want to go near. And because I have created a business based on all the woo-woo stuff and I've been successful at it, it's like I need to be the pioneer for other healers and so on that are in that position.
Jennifer, do you think that everybody has the ability to do the healings or intuition? Do you think it's all right there within a person anyway?
I believe it is. I believe it is. And I'm just, as you're asking me that, I have an image of across the street there's a grocery store. And when I go into the grocery store, I see these people who, you know, a lot of healers will say, oh, look at those people. They're asleep. They're not awake yet, which I find really fascinating. It's a very kind of judgmental thing to do and goes into that spiritual superiority. But the other day, you know, whenever I go in, I always see people. I see their physical body, and then I see a mirage beside them, which is their soul, and I can see who they really are. So regardless of how they're showing up to me in real time, I can still see what the core of their soul is. And I don't try to. It's just, you know, something that happens. So I do believe everyone has the ability, and I also believe that some people choose in this lifetime not to access it because their growth is coming from not being connected to that as opposed to being connected to that.
Do you think it's better to be connected or not?
I think it depends on which day you would ask me that question.
I can relate to that one.
So there's just sometimes you don't want to know things. Sometimes you're standing in the line of the grocery store and you're like, I wish I hadn't have walked through that thought cloud. It is what it is. I mean, we can look at people who are not living what we would say is a spiritual path and say, oh, look at those poor souls. How come they're in this job or how come this is happening for them? But because we're not privy to what their blueprint is, we have no idea how much their soul may in fact be evolving and how they may be serving on a bigger level. I remember years ago having this awareness that some of us came here to serve and heal, and some of us came here to serve the healers. Mm-hmm. So we do need people on this planet to be in tune more with the three-dimensional functioning of the planet so that people like you and I can still go and get our groceries and go and get our cars filled up and, you know, go and do our banking and so on without it. Because if we were all floating around in our little, you know, on our magic carpets, our little angel mm-hmm. wings, right, and nothing mm-hmm. would really get done. And that's not to say that there aren't people in jobs like that who are not deeply spiritual, but some people really are here to serve in a different way. We can't all be doing the same thing.
No, or we wouldn't do the growing that we need.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. And when we choose a healing path, and I don't have to tell you this because you just laughed at what I said, when you choose a healing path, the universe goes, great. You want to start mm-hmm. mastering relationships? Let me bring you a whole bunch of things to start mastering.
Yeah, let's let you go through it first so that when it comes your way, you know how to decipher it and maybe what to say to help somebody.
Exactly.
You know? And,
yeah.
And when you try to explain this to somebody, they look at you kind of funny because, you know, like when I wrote my book, for example, it's got a lot of examples of things that I basically had to go through. And not all of them are pretty, believe me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are very hurtful. But at the same time, going through them helped me to understand, like when somebody comes to me, you know, I have a better understanding of where that person's emotions and hearts and soul might be, even though I may not say that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it does make a difference, you know. And I think it's the experiences that really create, you know, a person like you, a person like me, in order to be able to help these people. And we really have to go through many, many things. And, you know, I don't think, and I hope it doesn't aggravate anybody, but a normal, everyday person, you know, doesn't quite understand that because they look at you like, oh, well, you think you know it all, you know, why do you think you know it all? What have you got, you know, to show for it? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you really don't even want to go there. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's funny like that because there are a lot of people who really do have all these abilities and yet they want to squish them because they don't want to feel it, they don't want to know it, they don't want any part of it because they don't want to not fit into society,
mm-hmm.
you know. And actually, I look at it just the opposite way. Society isn't fitting into you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if people looked at it that way, it would really make a big difference around the world with what we're doing to the world today and to people and to ourselves.
Absolutely.
But we're not taught how to do that. So everybody
yeah.
looks at it the other way. But
that's so
I find
true.
And I find it interesting when, you know, people will say, well, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? What makes you think you're so smart? What makes you think you can be right? And you know what I tell them, Jennifer? I don't know. I don't know. All I can tell you is what I'm going to get, what I see, what I feel, what I hear, what comes through. And then really it is up to you to do the rest. You know. And so people aren't expecting an answer, but it's a true answer. I really don't know. But
mm-hmm.
we'll see. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when people, you know, go to different kinds of you know, consultants, they need to understand that they may not have the exact answer, but they still have, you know, a lot of the information that goes with it. Like with the records. Can
mm-hmm.
a parent get a child's records? You know, like for, because, again, I was told that they can't.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, I'm not so sure that I believe that, okay? Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, the records are there.
Mhm.
And it's just asking.
Mm-hmm.
So I will
absolutely.
Ask you.
So based on the school of thought that I have and what I've seen over the years is that our record keepers guide us. They protect our records and they make sure that nobody's just kind of coming into our records, right? We don't want just anyone having our information. So what happens is we either go directly to our guides and say, can you open my records? Or I'm going to give you permission to hand over the key to so-and-so, and I give my express permission basically to have Jennifer, for example, read my records, but not all the time, just for this time that we're together. She's not allowed to know everything about me. She's only being allowed to be shown what is most appropriate and my highest good for me to know today. So in the same token, so for example, if I was reading someone and they wanted to know about their child, because that parent you know, in their blueprint, they will know why they're bringing through that child into this lifetime. So mm-hmm. I can access information through that. But there are some things that aren't going to come through that perhaps that soul just wants to keep to itself, or it's not appropriate for the parent to know, or, you know, something to that effect. But absolutely, people can ask about their children. It just depends. It also depends on the age of the child, too.
Mm-hmm.
So when the child is an adult child, we can talk about, well, why did this child come through? And, you know, what are you here to help your child go through? I've had parents who have infants, and their infants are, you know, really sick, and they want to know why their infant is having this. And that may or may not come through, but what does come through is how that parent can best support the child's condition. You know, what's the best course of action? How can they support the child in healing that particular issue?
Jennifer, can you give out your website and how people can get a hold of you?
Yeah, I'm at www.souljourneys.ca. And that's the best way to reach me. So when you go to the Contact Us page, again, www.souljourneys.ca, then people can send me an email right through the site, and then I can respond accordingly.
Okay, and Journeys has an S on it, folks.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not souljourneys.com, it's souljourneys.ca.
Yeah, so, you know, just in case, we'll mention again before we really go off the air. I have another question for you. You know, you talk about, you know, letting yourself be who you need to be, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the process, again, of growing up, I know you were in a you know, spiritually open home.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell parents that are listening that have children that, you know, usually people listen to this show are pretty open, but there are parents out there that still have their questions. But what would you tell parents to do to help their children so that they don't feel like, you know, they don't fit in down the road?
Mm-hmm. It kind of ties into that area that I was talking about earlier about the language that we speak. So what I've noticed when I'm teaching adults how to open their records, and either how to open their own records or how to open the records of other people, is that, for example, if someone is claircognizant, the very muscle that they're needing to develop, which is the knowingness, is the very thing that is attacked, and I say that in those words purposely, as a child. So what will happen is, in childhood, people will constantly be bombarded. The child will be constantly bombarded with, how do you know that? Aren't you a know-it-all? What do you think you know, how do you know that? And
mm-hmm.
you don't know everything, and everything is about the knowing, and their knowingness is attacked. So then they get to adulthood, and they have all these intuitive hits, but yet they have this voice, this subliminal program inside that's saying, you don't know anything, or you're a know-it-all. You can't share that because you're going to come across as a know-it-all, and nobody likes a know-it-all. There's all these different voices, right, that are going on
mm-hmm.
inside of this child, now adult's head. And alternately, let's say if someone's clairvoyant, every time they see something, they see a spirit or they see an orb or whatever, and they might hear things like, oh, you didn't see that. There's nothing there. You're the only person that can see that. Maybe you're going crazy. Maybe you're losing your mind. Maybe you're going crazy, just like your Uncle Tony. And, you know, there's all this kind of crazy-making going on, and you're not really seeing it, or don't make stories up. You're a liar. You can't be trusted. All these projections going on to the child, then they get into adulthood, and they're very conflicted. So my advice to parents is to just be with their children and ask questions and ask more and really genuinely seek to understand what your child is trying to tell you, and know that just because it doesn't make sense to you, it makes a lot of sense to that child. And just like the future, when we hear things about the future, it may not make sense to us at the time, but later on it will. One of the things I used to do as a child is just before the phone would ring, I wouldn't even realize I was doing it. My parents told me all kinds of stories of how the phone would ring 5 minutes after I would say, the phone's going to ring and it's going to be this person calling to tell you that this and this and this and this and this is going on. And then I'd finish and literally the phone would ring. And so my parents at first would be like, oh, what is she talking about? The phone isn't even ringing. Where is this story coming from? And then the phone would ring and it would happen. And it only needed to happen one or two times before they realized that every time that came out of my mouth that the phone was going to ring and something was going to happen. But not everyone has that ability to just trust. So hope that helps.
It does. See, I don't know if you know anything about me, but I actually have been doing intuitive life coaching for 37 years in the Chicagoland area. But I actually moved to New Mexico, and I came down here with one purpose and one purpose only. That was to find land, find funding, build my school, open it, and run it. And it's for children that really are not fitting in to the school system or have been labeled with ADD, ADHD, problem children, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And which is very, very important for today, because many, many of these children that are here today and have been here for a while and will continue to come in are so much more enlightened than we are as adults. And yet they're being made to take drugs, you know, like Ritalin and all that stuff, because they're not fitting. So the name of my school is the School of Now, which is a school that will never be outdated. And the way it works... The way it works is that once a month, once the school is open, is that there will be a special instructor that comes in that teaches their specialty, whether it's meditation, astrology, numerology, you know, the record reading, whatever it is for a whole week. An entire school gets to learn all of that. And then when that teacher leaves, the entire school will continue to practice it, you know, on a daily basis, so that when the next one comes, you know, they're going to get this variety, and then they will be able to pick and choose what resonates with themselves the best. Because, you know, you can't tell them, well, you've got to learn this, like they do in the schools. It doesn't work anymore. You know, so that was my purpose for coming down to New Mexico. And I've only been here, it was a year in April. And so far, I've got a grant writer. I met a person to design my school because it's made out of 19 monolithic domes, and I got 22.59 acres of land donated to me. Now, that took a lot of manifesting and a lot of work, okay? and I'm not done, because, of course, now I have to do the funding. But, you know, just to show people what can be done if they stay focused with their heart's belief or, you know, what they have in their heart. And people tend to get away from that, you know, for whatever reason. So some of the comments that I got, Jennifer, were really funny from people that have known me for, like, you know, 37 years in Chicago. They go, why are you giving up your business? And, you know, I looked at my and said, really, I'm not giving up. I'm only extending it. And they understood, but they didn't quite get it, you know. So they'll call and go, well, did you get what you want yet? You know, like in real doubt. And so I just rattle off all these things. They go, oh. Oh, that's great, you know, and it's like, yeah, okay, you know. But it is something that's very important, because most of the children today are very, very enlightened, and yet they're being shut down in some shape, way, or form. And I just have a real problem with that. So give out your website again so people can get a hold of you.
It's www.souljourneys.ca.
Okay. And on your website, you have some questions that, you know, you have answers for. And one of them is, you know, who do I partner with? So maybe explain, there's just a couple I'm going to have explained, but explain that particular one, because that's pretty important.
Okay, I'm going to pull up my website.
But it talks, you know, it basically talks about, you know,
who with their unique qualities. So because the Akashic Records is a pretty profound experience, some people show up in a very passive energy. They just are like, oh, read me. You know, I don't have to participate. I just get to sit here and receive information. Now, this is a very dynamic process, because it's involving your whole life. It's literally all of the answers coming through are designed to support you in choosing the most joyous path. As you mentioned earlier, not everyone follows through, and I call that the good enough path. Most people are used to living the good enough path, which is why they're not making changes in their life, because they're just trying to fit in. And they live the 75% path instead of the most joyous path. And so I've learned over time that the people that really have an understanding of energy work, because there will be a lot of energy that moves through your body when you have a reading, and there's a lot of energy that happens after a reading. So usually the record keepers will come and visit you, you know, even a week before your reading and start working on you. People say, I had this weird week, or I had this, you know, I got sick this week, or, you know, I had all this drama come up, or I had emotions come out of nowhere, or I had all these great things happening out of nowhere. It's because you're already getting worked on. And then after your reading, there's so much synchronicity that happens. There's so much energy that moves on your behalf, because you've now chosen to align to that next aspect of your soul. If people don't get that, they can get really freaked out by it. Mm-hmm. So understanding energy enough and really, you know, deciding, like, I'm showing up because I really want to have, I really want to live my most joyous path. I really want to learn how I can be the best version of me. That is who I really enjoy working with, because people that are still stuck in the blame game and my life sucks and I don't know why and it's this person's fault, it's this reader's fault, it's, you know, the president's fault, you know, it's everyone's mm-hmm. fault. There's no change that happens there, and it's really not a good use of that person's time, because this is a proactive, you know, forward-moving kind of a session. So, and then people really, you know, it's beneficial for people that are really ready to take that next leap in their journey rather than just kind of floating or dipping their toe in and, you know, kind of being in a tenuous place, so...
Yeah, it's really funny because I used to teach a lot of classes when I was in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned very quickly that people think, oh, this is great, let's go try it. But to keep them, or for them to keep themselves doing it, you know, every day to make
mm-hmm.
it work for themselves was really a chore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like you have to offer it, then offer it again, and then offer it the third time. And the
mm-hmm.
same people that come all three times are the ones that are really going to do their part.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that really make the difference.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was going to do this class called Who Are You?
Mm.
Because most people really don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And the way the class was designed was to take them all the way backwards to childhood and beyond that if we could, but then bring them all the way back forward to see, you know, what could be changed, what has been changed, what they now know about themselves so that they can make all those changes. But I left too soon to do that class.
Mm.
So I'm still going to do it, but I don't know if I'm going to do it in New Mexico or back in Illinois at this time. Now, I know you teach classes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay, yes, so absolutely.
If somebody wants to do classes, how do they do it?
They check my website because I'll always
okay.
have classes listed on there. I'm actually going to be launching an online Akashic Records home study program in the fall, in October. So if people want to know about that, it would be really helpful to sign up for my newsletter. And when you do that, you actually get to claim, I have a free soul acceleration system to get people started understanding their records more and asking them some really powerful questions. But because I have clients all over the world and not everyone wants to fly into North America to take a class, it's my way of, I finally figured out a way to design the class online so everyone can learn how to open their records with my guidance, right, to understand what their language is and to really deeply connect with their records and have this as a tool really work for them instead of just one other class they've taken that they still don't really know how to put it to use in their life. But for classes, absolutely, I'll do teleseminars and online classes and then in-person classes as well. It just depends on where people are at in their life and what speaks to them the most and how far they're prepared to journey, for example, to take a class.
Do you go, like if somebody wanted to bring you into their town for, you know, to teach a class or seminar, do you do that?
It would depend. I have other consultants that are trained as teachers for me that
mm-hmm.
have a teacher in Vancouver, for example, and some other teachers in different areas that are traveling. I would you know, be open to exploring that for sure. And if it was a big enough group, absolutely something I could consider.
Which I think is, you know, kind of important. So
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping people want to do that. So let's give out your website again so people can find you.
It's www.souljourneys.ca.
If somebody has, because you also have a blog
mm-hmm.
on your website. So
yeah.
people can blog in, ask you questions, and then you answer them. Is that the way it works too?
Yeah, people can comment on the blog, and I'm also, when you go on my website, there's a little button for Facebook and Twitter, so you can click on that, and it takes you right into that social media as well. So I have people send me questions that way and, you know, try to serve as many people as possible with people's questions because, of course, that's what it's all about is being of service and helping people really figure out what's going to best serve them on their next stage of their journey.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think those are all real important things that people need to learn. To me, the more people can know and find out about, the easier their journey is and the better it works. And not be afraid to try different things because it's out there. It's out there for the taking. All you got to do is just, you know, take the time and try it and see what happens. So I think people really need to get themselves going. Otherwise, they're going to sit there, and for all the new energies that are coming in, they may not be able to handle them, and then they're going to still sit there while a lot of other people are going to move forward. Real quickly, we only have about a minute left. What do you know about between now and 2013 is going to be going on?
Really quickly, there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of scarcity mindset, a lot of fear-mongering amongst our community. And the thing is that we're already living it. We're already living the shift so that by the time we emerge through 2012 and beyond, we're really much further into the new paradigm than what we realize. And really by then, we're all just meant to be more awake. We're meant to be more in tune with our vibration. We're breaking down old paradigm systems, whether it's money, relationships, whatever, to be more in alignment with the balance of the divine feminine and divine masculine.
Yeah.
How is that for under a minute?
But that is. That's good. My angels have always told me from time I was 6 years old until now, 2010. And so when I hear people talking about 2012, I tell them the same thing you just said. You're already in it. You know, it's already started. You know, 2012, you know, it's just a midpoint someplace. So just don't focus on 2012. Focus on you and your growth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I do it, which is very important for people, I think, to understand.
Absolutely. And we don't know when we're leaving the planet, right? Because people cross the street every day and with their headsets on and they're texting, get hit by a car, and so much for, like, 2012 doesn't really matter then.
Right? No, it really doesn't. And, Jennifer, I hate to tell you this, but our time is up. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
I've really had a great time with you, Nancy. I'm so thrilled and grateful that you had me on today.
You're very welcome. It's time to have a good time. So wake up, people. Have a good time. Anyway, thank you very much for taking the time. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and take care. Bye now.